This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. And actually, I'm not driving home. I'm driving around. Our small group has the last meeting for the calendar year. And so we're actually getting together at a restaurant that was just going to be easier for everybody. That's happening at 6:30. It's 5:15-ish. So I'm just going to drive around for a few minutes, do the podcast, get in touch with my beloved, find out what she's up to, figure out how to coordinate with her, etc., etc. It's been a good week. It's been an exciting week. So I was on the periphery of most of the excitement because I was working on a data project that I've been working on for 2 months, and we needed to get this done, 2.5 months. And I think I've about got it under control now. At the same time, the guys were cleaning up from a catastrophic failure that we had. Oh, that's a long story. We found out SQL Server does things that we didn't think it did. So I'm just driving into the cemetery that's near the church here, and I'm just gonna wander around the cemetery. But yeah, they had the guy who built all those systems came back in and helped clean up a bunch of stuff. That really helped. There were a couple of things that he missed in the process of cleaning everything up, and so the guys were working on that, and I was trying to help as best I could at the same time while I was doing my other stuff. So, but I think today they got one of the last things done, and then we figured out that, oh yeah, we have one more thing to do. Hopefully once they get that done, then we'll be through it and moving on to the next thing. So we are talking to the programmer who built all that stuff about coming back and fixing part of the issue of what went wrong. It's that I could fix it. I know exactly what to do. But, you know, this is the big end of month process, so if he could come in and get it done, it's probably better if he does it. But anyways, God's been good. He's been helping us. You know, there's obviously been some frustrations along the way because the last time we had anything this catastrophic was when some things got run twice, when they were running the last closings on the mainframe, and some of the missionaries got paid twice. So that wasn't very good. But all in all, it's been a good week. We've been able to accomplish some things and moving forward. We've got one more week before Christmas vacation, so that's going to be nice to take a little Christmas break, and then we'll see if we can't get the year closed and moving into 2024. It's just astonishing that we are moving into 2024. As far as the writing goes, everything's good. I got all the files uploaded for book 19 on Monday. It was interesting because I kind of forgot what was going on this week, but I was sitting there close. Just a moment. This is my beloved. I'm going to put this on pause. I'll be right back. Okay. I'm back. So I got a few minutes. Gonna go run back over to the church after this. So writing is going fine. I'm taking a little bit of a break here to get caught up on like costume and all the Christmas celebrations. I had kind of forgot what was going on this week. Thankfully, I did just push through and get everything done on Monday night for all the uploading of the files and ordering books and all that kind of stuff. And which was good because Tuesday night it turned out that there was a party for church staff people. And so that blew Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, I had a few things to take care of, a couple of pieces of equipment to get loaded in. And so that kind of blew Wednesday night, but I got my bills paid and got my exercising done and then worked on worked on my wig for National Big Wig Day. That's coming out fine. And then tonight, we have our last small group meeting. Then when I get home, I've got to iron the shirt for ugly Christmas sweater and do a couple of repairs and things. So I've needed the extra time, so it's good that I got all that stuff done. It's amazing how that works out. If you take care of the details, you know, in order, things usually work out. So anyways, the costuming is going fine. I'm trying to get finished up with the big wig, the big foam wig that I'm building. Probably be doing some painting this afternoon, or this weekend. I'm hoping to do some painting. I think we're going to be on target for that. If I can start, get the painting, at least the base coats in, get that put together for the wig. I do have some yellow latex that's coming in that I'm going to need to color match to for the wig. So I'm going to see what that yellow looks like. I do have some shoes that I bought for Big Wig Day. I may have to cover them with latex to get everything color matched. But then the next great adventure is to actually build myself a latex business suit, which will consist of leggings and then a latex jacket and vest and shirt. None of those last few things seem like they're going to be too hard. If I can get past the leggings and actually get those built for me, latex is a very interesting material. Because when they talk about building stuff with latex, you use a horizontal ease but not a vertical ease. And what that means is that when you cut the pieces that you're building together, you intentionally undersize the horizontal access so that it grips tightly, but then you leave the vertical access alone on the clothing. And I actually found that to be true. I had found some latex leggings that were done in a mold. They weren't actually sewn, which meant they didn't have any seams. And I think I ordered the largest size that they had, but it did not work. if I pulled them, they were too short. And if I pulled them way up on my legs, they were okay, but the rest of it just didn't fit. You've really got to get the vertical element right in times, and then you've got to make sure that as it goes down, it's fitted for, you know, your legs if you're going down, and it's not only fitted for your legs, it's a little smaller, like 8%, I think is what I've seen, 8% or 10%, depending on how tight you want it to be. All of these things are just fascinating in terms of manifesting things in a three-dimensional world against a body that's a little bit soft and pliable, especially my body, soft and pliable. It's a really fascinating engineering endeavor. So I'm basically going to try to make the leggings first. If I can get the leggings made and get that accomplished, then the rest of it should be fairly simple to get put together. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. This is going to be an adventure because I just have enough latex for it to work the first time. So I've watched a lot of YouTube videos. I've watched a lot of stuff to show me how it's done. I've watched them doing it. You know, the old story is that it's good to hire the guy who has actually done it before. And in these kind of cases, it's always better to be the guy who has done it before. Like, I don't know if I'm actually going to ever build latex clothing again. But it would, you know, once you've done it once, you can kind of figure out what you should have done. And if you can't be the guy who's done it before or hire the guy who's done it before, then you always want to hire the guy who stood next to the guy who has done it before. And so that's what YouTube's for. I have gone and watched a bunch of videos about people building stuff. And, you know, I think I got the general concepts under control. We're going to give it a try. So, this week, last night, I wasn't really sure exactly what I was going to do the podcast on. And then I got reflecting, and then I finished up with a podcast that Jordan Peterson had done with Niall Ferguson. And there was a really interesting moment at the end of it. And that led into other things that I have been thinking about over the last, you know, several weeks and months. And what it was is that Jordan Peterson was interviewing Niall Ferguson on a book he had written called Doom, maybe? And it was about examinations of the various disasters that have happened in the world. They kept using the term apocalypse. That term's a little difficult for me to use in this context because I always go back to the original meaning of the word, which is revelation. Apocalypse really means revealing. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ is Revelations, the book. And so when they say apocalypse, I kept going back to that revealing, but in fact, what they were talking about is what we would more readily use as the kind of modern translation of the word apocalypse, and that is a disaster, a profound thing that happened in the world. So he had written, Niall Ferguson had written a book on that. And they were talking about all the different apocalypses and what brought them on and what were precursors to them. It was all, you know, very interesting. And it was funny because I was having an odd reaction through it all because as Jordan Peterson was talking to Niall Ferguson was mentioning that he had grown up in an atheistic home and that, you know, he really turned to a love of history and blah, blah, blah. And yet, as Jordan Peterson was talking to Niall Ferguson, he would frequently bring up Bible stories. Which is really fascinating because I, as someone who grew up in the faith, unlike Jordan Peterson, we always kind of try to read our audience and figure out, at least I do, try to figure out how we're going to talk to people and communicate with people. And part of that reading is a realization of what their background are and where they are, and et cetera, et cetera. And so honestly, if someone is visiting with me and they tell me, well, I grew up an atheist and, you know, ta-da, 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 I wouldn't necessarily lean into the Bible stories as hard as I would with conversations with other people because I'm trying to create an atmosphere of free-flowing communication. And Jordan just kept going back, Dr. Peterson, I should say, just kept going back to the Bible stories. And at one point, he actually kind of quasi-apologized. And he said, you know, I'm writing this book called We Who Wrestle With God, and so these are very much on my mind. So, you know, sorry I keep bringing this stuff up. Throughout the whole thing, Niall Ferguson was just sort of nodding and kind of going along. And he has a very somber demeanor to begin with, Niall Ferguson does, so it was kind of difficult to tell how he was actually reacting to all of these overt references to the Bible. But given that he claimed to have grown up as an atheist, then you just make the assumption that he's probably not that thrilled about hearing about Bible stories. What was really interesting, though, is right at the end of this discussion, and for those of you who don't know, Jordan Peterson's podcast comes in two pieces. So when he interviews people, the majority of it will be posted on YouTube, but then they'll reserve a final half hour that will only be on the Daily Wire. You have to be subscribed to the Daily Wire to see that last piece. And it's usually like an autobiographical piece where they just talk about growing up and you know, their encounters and what brought them to the place that they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, right towards the end of the first chunk of it, Niles Ferguson started talking about Churchill and what a hero Churchill was for him, because Churchill, he saw the Nazi regime coming, he saw the threat that Hitler was, and he kept trying to warn people about Hitler, and no one would listen. And what's his name? Peace in our time. Neville Chamberlain. Neville Chamberlain was like, no, we'll be okay. And, you know, Churchill just kept, and of course, finally, then Hitler does what Hitler's going to do, and he invades Poland, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so at that point, it becomes obvious that Churchill was right all along. And so he is actually voted in to deal with this problem now. And so then Churchill goes to work and sets a vision for the country, does tremendous amount of good, gets England through World War II, and then after he gets through World War II, they vote him out. And Niles Ferguson was relating this to the fact that Churchill's actions were the actions of ultimate right. He did what was right, but he was willing to sacrifice that public acclaim because that's not really what he was after. He was willing to give all that stuff up because he was doing what was right. He wasn't trying to be popular. He wasn't trying to win contests for people's souls. He just knew what needed to be done, and he got with it, and he got it done. Well, what was interesting about that is that then Jordan Peterson backed up a little bit, and he said, I find it interesting that you're talking about Churchill in that manner and praising the man for this approach that he took in life of sacrificing himself. He said, because that approach of doing what's right and sacrificing for others and for what is right, he said, is a very Christian concept, and in fact it maps very well back into the model that Jesus Christ shows us, that archetype of someone who sacrifices for the right. And he said, I find it interesting that you, who were raised an atheist, would find value in that. And that was the place where, like, the whole conversation turned because, well, first of all, Niles Ferguson said, you know, I have resisted all my life psychoanalytic sessions, but I feel like this is turning into what? Oh, he was just joking. And Jordan Peterson laughed. And he said, that's a very shrewd observation, and I should tell you that I am a lapsed atheist. And it took Jordan Peterson back for a moment. But then he went, okay. And then they got into this big discussion about the failures of atheism and how it could not explain things like what is the source of consciousness and what is the source of interests that grip us. And they tried to dig into that. And it was really interesting. They got into a discussion about Tolstoy and Dostoevsky. And I think Niles Ferguson was quoting either Dostoevsky or Tolstoy, probably Tolstoy, when he said people are caught up in the myth that grips them. And Niles Ferguson started talking about how people are trying to write Hitler out of power, but in fact Hitler had a charisma and was able to tap into a demonic power. And they talked about a bunch of other stuff, but it was just so interesting to see this guy who from all outward appearances would seem to be someone who's like very serious and not a believer in God and an atheist. And but through his experiences, he said he was brought up an atheist. He didn't go to church. But the reason that he has come to an observance of religious, of the religious, he said, I think he said he hadn't necessarily come to a belief yet or a faith yet, but he is observing the rituals of Christianity, going to church with his wife, who is Hershey Ali, is that her name? She's a same type of story. She was kind of a Muslim, and then she became an atheist, and then she just, you know, could not find the satisfaction in atheism to actually accomplish everything she felt needed to be accomplished in the world, and so she ended up to being a Christian. And then Niles Ferguson, through all of this, said what is clear is that Christianity creates a bulwark for societies that without which they descend into hell. And it was really interesting that, you know, this thing was going along like it was some kind of thing about this very sterile historic thing. It's getting close to the time when I need to get to church. This very sterile historic discussion, and then all of a sudden we're in talking about the fact how essential Christianity is to the formation of nations and the continuity of nations, that without a Christian belief system, everything just descends into chaos. And this is a fascinating thing to me. I mean, I've made mention of this before, that we've gone through this modern time when all the quote-unquote thinkers had all decided that Christianity was not needed and that science and technology would be sufficient for everything we needed to build a just and equitable society. And then, in the midst of all this, I'm looking for the exit here. Oh, here it is, from the cemetery. And then in the midst of all this, we start moving into a postmodern society, and in fact, all those things that we thought would bring about our utopias start failing us. Like our public health systems that we think, oh, this is here for public health, and then we go through something like COVID and we realize, yeah, no, it's not here for public health at all. What it's here for is to wring every bit of money it can from the federal government and from the consumers, not because they're doing anything that will actually benefit the consumers. I mean, there might be a sort of a side benefit to some of the stuff, but there's a whole lot of side effects and a whole lot of bad things, but it sure does make the pharmaceutical companies a lot of money. And so it's interesting to see how these structures, like our universities, start to crumble, and the entertainment industry, it's like goes off the rails, and the stuff that's supposed to be supporting free speech isn't supporting free speech anymore. You have to have subscribed to a certain ideology or you're not allowed to talk. I mean, everything is coming apart. We are in this descent to hell in our society. And in the midst of that, then to see that people are looking around going, wait a minute. And as I've said before, you don't have science without an ethical and moral framework. And science can't give that to you. And it's been fascinating to watch intellectuals that are starting to go, wait a minute, this is not working. And this is not working because there's a glue that's missing. And then to hear somebody like a Niles Ferguson say that he has come to an observance of the rituals of Christianity, which is a step. It's a step in the right direction. You know, it'll be fine, step at a time. Specifically because he has looked at history and studied history from a practical standpoint and realized that Christianity is the only belief system, aside from Judaism, but as he said, you know, Judaism can do it too. He said, but the problem with Judaism is it's never really captured a nation at a large level. And most of that's related to the fact that it has an ethnic identification with it. Whereas Christianity's got its doors open to everybody. But he did acknowledge that Judaism could do it as well. But that Christianity seems to be the only thing that can actually provide enough resilience against the pursuit of power and the pursuit of destruction to keep a nation intact. And they were making comparisons between America and all the terrible financial woes that it endured, and Hitler, and post-World War I Germany and the terrible financial troubles they had. And you've got this rise of the strong man in Hitler that takes it down this horrible, horrible path. And that somehow, you know, yes, there were people who rose, like Roosevelt, but it never went down that path. So it was a fascinating discussion. It's interesting because there was one last piece where they were talking, and I thought they had kind of answered it already. So, you know, when I get into these type of situations, I'm talking back to the podcast, because there was one spot in there where Jordan Peterson said something to the fact that, you know, we don't know what the antithesis to the pursuit of power is. And I was talking back to the podcast going, yes, we do. It's sacrifice. That is the antithesis. That when you have leaders, they don't gather as much power as they can. What they do is they sacrifice themselves for their constituents. That's the antithesis. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where that all goes, but it was such a fun thing to see Jordan Peterson so surprised that he had been talking to this man who he had assumed was an atheist for an hour and a half, and then suddenly the man says, well, I'm a lapsed atheist, and it just changed the conversation. And to hear the reason that Niall Ferguson is a lapsed atheist, it was very interesting. And we need to remind ourselves that we have nothing to apologize for. We don't need to apologize. Christianity is foundational and it is critical for the survival of the human race. And if we don't go do our part to spread love and spread kindness, to spread encouraging words, to be ready to say the word that sustains the weary, if we don't do that and we hole up and go hide, there's going to be nothing that is going to keep our societies from continuing to degrade. Because it's like Jesus said, you are salt and light. And when the salt and light is extinguished and loses its flavor, that's when bad things happen. Because we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, need to be those who keep our world, keep our society, keep our circles from falling into darkness and from rotting from the inside out. Salt and light. This is Phil Ferrand. And I have finished driving around, and I will head home in a bit. Have a great week, everyone.